on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly. Jesus replied, do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? He replied, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down to the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Next.
He went to him and
bandaged his wound, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you have. Man. Which of these three do you think was neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Everybody say, go and do likewise. Amen. Next. Next. Okay. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Today's story is very famous and well-known story for many, for the believers. A good Samaritan, right? You heard this story, you heard this message, okay? But today, you're going to hear a new revelation from this story. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you ready for the new revelation?
Amen.
It's not going to be the same message. Okay, you heard this story before, but today you're going to hear a new message, new revelation. And in order to do that, you have to use your spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Are you ready?
Amen.
Okay, let's go verse by verse and check out what God has in store for all of us today. Okay? First of all, verse 25. Let's read that scripture one more time. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, this question, the expert in the law asked Jesus, right? Now, he's expert in the law. It's like a Pharisee or a Sadducee. Now he asked this question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You know, the whole world and every man and woman, from the beginning, from like kindergarten, the moment they enter elementary school, they're educated, they're trained to do something, right? Do assignments, do homeworks, do this, don't do that. And as they go through the school ages, junior high school, and college, continually, they are trained, they are educated to do something. So it's like a strong concept in their mind. That we all grew up to know and to do something. So doing something is in our blood. Hello?
Yeah.
Doing something for God, it's in our blood.
Amen.
We don't have to teach you to do something. But it, because it's in your blood, you will automatically do something for God. Okay, so doing something, it's in our blood, it's in our nature. Likewise, today, this expert in the law, this man asked this question, Jesus, what must I do? What must I do to inherit eternal life? To be a doctor. I think it's someone who's studying to be a doctor, right? I think you, or sister, right? You're studying to be a doctor? What area? Which area you are studying? Of course. So to be a doctor, you have to you have to study hard. After finishing study, you have to have internship, right? And then, what's after that? Resident.
4 years.
4 years?
Yes.
Did you study that? Okay, you know very well. So 4 years of residence. And after that, you have to have final test, right?
Yeah.
And then become a doctor. So to be a doctor, you have these long years, many years of doing something. Doing, continue.
Sorry, I have to drink water.
So doing something, it's in our nature, it's in our blood. So, no one here is exempt from this doing something. Okay? No one here is exempt from doing something. We all have, and we are actually struggling, or being tempted, or being misunderstood, or confused with doing something for God. Now, God has purpose for you, and that purpose for you is not to do something for God. God has purpose for you, for your life, and that is to fill you up with Himself. Dispense Himself into you, and to make you exactly like God, in life and in nature. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yesterday we talked about petrified wood. There's wood, but it has become the stone. In a spiritual sense, we are all becoming sanais. There's a word sanais. Sanais means we are all becoming like the sun, the first sun, Jesus Christ. How? How? Our human nature, the fleshly, and our self-righteousness, okay, our soulish life is coming out, right? And then we are inhaling, we are receiving the life and nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are inhaling of Him and we are exhaling of ourselves. So the more we do that, we are becoming sanais. We are becoming like Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But this one does not happen by doing something for God. Becoming like God cannot happen by doing something for God. But it only happens when you receive Him with right attitude, with right heart, with right spirit. Hallelujah. So that's what we're going to find out today through this story. Okay? Oh, praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So human life can be summarized as one word, by this one word. What must I do? That's human life. Everybody's is doing something to survive, to be more educated, to be successful, right? To have promotion. Everybody's doing something. But the Christian life is not about doing something for God. It's about receiving Jesus. Okay, let's go on now. Verse 26 to 39. We're going to find out the biggest problem now. What is the biggest problem with this expert in the law? We're going to find it out. Okay, 26, 29. Let's read it together. Begin. "What is written in the law?" He replied, "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "To this end you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Now, we see the biggest problem here. What is the biggest problem here? Every Lord's Sunday, when you come before God, this ought to be our attitude, right? Contrite heart. Humble and a contrite, broken heart. Oh, hallelujah. But this teaching the law, he was very proudful, arrogant. We can see this from the scriptures, huh? So what is written in the law? He asked this question of Jesus, "What must I do to inherit the eternal life?" And Jesus answered, "What is written in the law?" Right? And then he answered, he's an expert in the law. You can see that, huh? He's an expert in the law. He got the main thing. Oh, love the Lord your God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor. And then Jesus says, "You have answered correctly." So he was like proud for, huh? And then this is what he said. Jesus said, "Do this and you will live." Wow. Now this is a tough one. "Do this and you will live." Now, there is who in this world can actually love God with their heart, soul, and mind and strength, and love their neighbor as they love themselves? Who can do that? Who's able to do that? Here, any saints, if you can love God with your heart, soul, and mind and strength, and your neighbor as you love yourself, anybody who can love, fulfill this scripture, raise your hand. Obviously not. And obviously not outside too. There's no Christians, even famous super pastors or bishop, you want to call them. Okay? No pastor, no bishop, no believer can fulfill this God's commandment without faith, without failure, without shortcomings. We all have shortcomings. We cannot love God with our heart and soul and mind and strength. By the way, we don't even know what love is all about. Do you think we can love our neighbor as you love yourself? No. Maybe you can, but I cannot. I don't have that love. Huh? One of the biggest temptation I often fall of not loving my neighbor is when I'm driving. Especially when I'm driving highway from Changsung to here, it's about 3 hours driving. So when I'm driving, this, there's two lanes, right? Two lanes. And the left lane is for the expressway. If you are in a hurry, you are on the left lane. If you're not in a hurry, you're supposed to be driving right lane. Hello? Are you driving? You should know this, right? But every time I'm driving, there's people who is driving on the left lane, going very slow. But I'm in a hurry. I have to come to Ansan, prepare for this ministry and all this. It's going like, usually on the left lane, they go up to 140 miles. But there's some cars, they run like 110. So it's like very slow. So me and Rachel were very impatient. Get out of the way. but here's a rule. We don't honk. Okay? Here's a rule. So whether we go really close to that car, really close to the car, so they get frightened and they avoid us. Well, when we get really close to the car and they still don't move, what do? We just see if there's no car here on the left lane. We just go. We just pass by, huh? But anyway, I think I always fall in temptation there. The anger comes. I'm thinking to myself, they should go to the motor vehicle, the license training again. Why are they driving? Anyway. Listen, brothers and sisters, let's be honest, huh? We cannot love God. We cannot love our neighbor.
Yeah.
We can't. Let's acknowledge this. So look, 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 brothers and sisters, let's not pretend to be holy. Let's not pretend to be a good Christian. Just be yourself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you're in joy, express joy. When you are in sorrow, cry. It's okay. It's okay to cry. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to dance. My dance, not good. When an African brother's dance. It's okay. But this expert in the law, he's pretending. And Jesus said, do this and you will live. He must be shocked. Like, huh? Do this and you will live. And then he's replying. Look at this, what he replied, verse 29. Now, when Jesus said, do this and you will live, Jesus meant, hey, you think you can fulfill the law? You cannot. But then this expert in the law is saying this now, verse 29. But he wanted to justify himself. Ah, that's the biggest problem right there. See, I wrote their title, right? Biggest problem. The biggest problem for us, me and you, is to justify ourselves before God. Just because I'm wearing very nice suit and colorful necktie, and I comb my hair with mousse, you know, and hairspray. Just because I'm looking very nice outside, you never know who I am. He's trying to justify himself before God. Hey, this is what he said, right? And who is my neighbor then? Jesus, who is my neighbor? Okay, love my neighbor as I love myself. Then who is my neighbor? How arrogant and prideful this guy is. He thinks he can love his neighbor. So he's saying to Jesus, Jesus, so who is my neighbor, huh? I can love my neighbor, no problem. This is crazy guy. All right? You got the picture here? Munju, are you listening? You have the earphone? 다 알아들어요 지금요? 그거 하나 주지. 있어요? 남은 거 있어 주세요. 이거 들어 알아들어요. 오케이. 굉장히 중요한. 자, so I'm about to speak Korean now. So do you understand the background now, right? Do you understand? Okay. Now you're ready for the story. You have to understand this background, and then you can understand. Get into the story now, okay? So now let's go to the story now, okay? So this is the background, and this is what Jesus is saying after. Hey, there's a story. Now I'm going to tell you a story. He's speaking to the expert in the law, like a Pharisee, right? To make him understand. Perhaps he will not understand, maybe. But actually, he's talking to us now. Jesus is speaking to all of us to understand this wonderful and insightful and very deep message today. Are you ready?
Amen.
In the beginning, I told you there's going to be a new revelation. I pray that your eyes will be open to understand this message, to grasp this wisdom, grasp this revelation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because this is what real Christian life is all about. We are not into Christianity. Christianity is about religion, man-made religion. There's the gospel, but it got mixed with the Roman Catholic teachings and beliefs and doctrines. We are into the real, genuine relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, so let's find the story now. Is that the story? Okay. Is that the next one? Okay, verse 30. From Jerusalem to Jericho. Okay, let's read this now together. Ready? Begin.
Jesus said, "Amen."
Okay, okay, no, that leave him half dead. That's the end of the scripture. So verse 30. Now Jesus is starting with his story. Okay. The title of this verse 30 is From Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, remember, this expert is going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, Jerusalem means peace. It's a holy city. It represents God. But Jericho is a condemned city. Represents Satan. Condemnation. So, Jerusalem, you got to go up. Jericho, you got to go down. So, this man is going what? Was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Many people, even the believers, they are going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Are you going up or are you going down? Ask this person. Are you going up to Jerusalem or are you going down to Jericho? Okay, now this man, there was a man, right? He was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and then he fell into the hands of robbers. Okay, it's a robbers, it's plural, huh? Many robbers, huh? Maybe not one. Maybe one he can fight, huh? But many robbers. Anyway, they stripped him off his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, who are the robbers in this present age? Now, we have to see this spiritually, brothers and sisters. We have to understand a spiritual message from this. Who are the robbers? Perhaps I will come back to this. If I don't come back to this, please remind me, brother, okay? I said, hey, brother, you did not mention about who are the robbers. Okay, I don't think this is a time to talk about this. Okay, now let's go to the next one. Okay, verse 31 to 32. Ready? Begin. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, and he came to the place and saw him pass by on the other side. Amen. Okay, so here a man got beaten and stripped off. And half that, a man laying down, bleeding. You understand? Okay? So, here's a man bleeding. And then, there's two persons are showing here, right? One is a priest. So, priest sees a dead man here. Let's say you're a dead man, or half dead. Priest sees, and then what happened, right? Huh? He goes to the other side. He avoids him. He don't want anything to do with this man who got robbed by there, huh? Attacked by the robbers. And then another person is coming, right? Levite. And he did the same thing. So this priest and Levite, they represent religious leaders. So we see here many religious leaders. Brothers, sisters, there are so many religious leaders in this time of age. We have to be careful of the religious people and religious leaders. Perhaps, maybe this is a time to talk about that. Who are the robbers? Who are the robbers? Religious leaders. Religious leaders will strip you off, strip your clothes off. It will beat you, and it will put you half dead. How? Religious leaders will preach prosperity gospel. They will preach half gospel, another gospel. Okay? They will mix with many other things of this world. Okay? The gospel mixed with the Babylon, the concept of Babylon. So that when we hear that, it will do the beatings. It will do the stripping off of the cloth and the heftah. Now, when you listen to the sermon about law. What must I do? You gotta do this and do that. Every time we hear this sermon, listen, you gotta do this and do that, right? We will feel more condemned. We will feel more guilty feelings. So, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we have to run away from these religious leaders. We need to run away. If you wanna live and survive in this end time, we have to run away from the religious leaders. Run away from these robbers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have to have discernment, brothers and sisters. You have to have discernment. Right? Okay. Let's go to the next one. Okay. Now, here's a good Samaritan appears. And we know this good Samaritan is our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's find out what he did. Okay? Let's read together. Begin. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. and he went to him and bandaged his wound, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the Good Samaritan. Jesus Christ is a Good Samaritan. Priest, the position, highest position, religious leader, Levite, who's in the worship ministry. You see, all those people, religious leaders, and they're the highest rank. You see, they were not interested in this man who got beaten by the robbers. But here's a Good Samaritan. Jesus came as a humble Samaritan. When he entered the temple, remember, he rode donkey, right? How humble he is. He didn't even ride a horse. He rode a donkey. When he came to visit the earth, he didn't came as the king, the superstar, with the airplane. But he came as in a manger, right? Do you understand? In a manger. So here he came as a Samaritan, and he traveled and where the man was beaten, and then when he saw him, this is what is it? When Jesus saw him, he took pity on him. Oh, hallelujah. Today Jesus has pity on you. Jesus has compassion for you. Oh, he has pity on you. He feels what you are feeling. He feels that you are brutally beaten by the robbers, by the religious leaders. Okay? He feels pity because you are bleeding now. Oh, you are in desperate position. That you are depressed. You are hopeless and helpless. You are worn out. You are burned out. He feels pity on you. And this, because of this pity, because of this compassion, Jesus will come and heal you. And this is how he did, right? Verse 34, he went to him and he bandaged his wound, pouring on oil and wine. That's the key. Oil and wine. Everybody say oil and wine.
Oil and wine.
Oil is talking about Holy Spirit. Wine is talking about his blood. Blood is talking about his life. So Holy Spirit and the life, right? So it's himself, his life and his spirit. So oil and wine. He poured the oil and wine and bandaged him. Then he didn't finish there, right? What did he do? Then he put the man on his own donkey. Ah, donkey. See, it's gotta be Jesus, huh? Donkey. Okay. So he put on donkey and took him to a where? Took him to a where? An inn. That inn. Spiritually speaking, it's a church. And took care of him. Brothers and sisters, we are 21st century version of inn. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are so many people who are hurting and bleeding. And when they come, our job is to do what? Is to take care of them. We need to help them to be healed by Jesus Christ. And then not only healing, but after that, we need to take care of them. Hallelujah. Amen. This is what church is all about.
Amen.
This is what church is all about.
Amen.
To care for one another. To pray for one another.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on, church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Those who are in the cacao talk. Those who are in the cacao talk. Brother Ija said, they share about prayer requests. Magdalene was really sick. Her face was swollen and all that. And then that request for prayer. Now, honestly, who prayed for her? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm just challenging you. This is what church is all about. To care for one another. To pray for one another. To visit to one another. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because many people are hurt. Right? And God is counting on us to take care of to care of one another. Because we are 21st century in. Where we receive people. And we bandage them. Put oil and wine. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for this privilege to heal the people for his kingdom's sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Or praise for the Good Samaritan. Next. Verse 35, let's read it together. Begin. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Hallelujah!
Amen.
So I told you the inn is 21st century church now, right? So he says, the next day he took out 2 silver coins and he gave them to the innkeeper. Who are the innkeeper? We are the innkeeper. Amen?
Amen.
We are the innkeeper. All right, and they said, I will reimburse you, right? I will reimburse you. Oh, praise the Lord. Listen, brothers and sisters, everything you do for God, everything you serve God, God will reimburse you.
Amen.
There's nothing free in Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, the greatest reimbursement from the Lord is Himself. We will gain Jesus.
Amen.
Who He is. He's all-inclusive Christ. Praise the Lord. Okay. And then, verse 36 begin. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Huh? Which of these 3 men? A priest, a Levite, a good Samaritan.
Good Samaritan.
Huh?
Good Samaritan.
Praise the Lord. God wants us to be a good neighbor. Amen? Talk to somebody. God wants you to be a good neighbor. Ask this question again. Who in your neighbor is suffering? Ask this question. Who in your neighbor is suffering? Huh? Yeah? Then, as a good neighbor, we want to go and lead that brother or sister to Christ. And not only lead them to Christ, but we want to take care of them. Amen? Huh? Into the hands of robbers, yeah. Who are the robbers? Okay, spiritually speaking, these robbers who beaten them, right? They are the religious leaders. Okay, but anyway, let's go to the next one. Okay, verse 37. This is the last verse, right? Last verse, okay? Let's read it together, begin. Do you know, do you understand what you just read? Some of you are saying amen, but I'm not sure if you understand this. Do you understand what you just read? Or read it one more time. Alright? Carefully read it one more time. Okay? And what does it mean by go and do likewise? Okay, read one more time. Begin. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Go and do likewise. What does this mean?
Do the same as the Samaritan.
This is exactly what you have been heard for 10, 20 years from your pastor. Say it one more time.
We have to do same as the Samaritan did the same with the person.
This is what we have been heard, right? In our entire life, isn't it? But that's the wrong. That's the wrong answer. Now, you have to pay attention to the whole story here. Remember from the beginning? The conversation went on, started with Jesus and expert in the law. So the story is what? Relationship between Jesus and expert in the law. That's the beginning story, right? And after that, now what was the story about expert in the law, the Pharisee, and Jesus? Expert in the law asked this question, Jesus, what must I do to inherit the eternal life? And Jesus said, what is it written in the Bible? And he answered so well. Oh, love the Lord God with the heart, soul, and mind, and love the neighbor as yourself. And if you do this, you will live. And then he asked Jesus, right? Who is my neighbor? He's like boasting himself, right? I can do that, no problem. I can love my neighbor. Who is my neighbor? So Jesus realized this expert in the law is not understanding the gospel. He's not understanding what Jesus asked. No? So Jesus came up with this story about a Samaritan, right? Good Samaritan. Jesus came up with a good story of a good Samaritan. And through this story, Jesus is hoping for this man, this expert in the law, to understand, to understand that the importance of not doing something. Okay? Not doing something for God, but to receive, to see the need. Okay, this is a very important point. I hope you understand. To see the need, to be real, to be honest, to be genuine, and to see that this expert in the law is actually a man who got beaten by the robbers. I say this again. Jesus is hoping that this expert in the law to see through the story Jesus is sharing to him. A man is walking down, right? From Jerusalem to Jericho, the condemned city. So this expert in the law is going down to the condemned city, and right? And then he met a robbers and he got beaten, right? And he's bleeding. So this expert in the law was not able to see himself a man who got beaten by the robbers. Actually, in reality, spiritually speaking, this man, this expert in the law, he was bleeding. Spiritually speaking, he's bleeding. He does not have the spiritual world. He does not understand God. He does not understand the gospel. All he knows is he's expert in the law. Yes, he's expert about the Bible, the Old Testament. But he does not have the relationship with God, genuine relationship with God. And he's beaten by this law. And he's bleeding now, half death. But here's a Samaritan, good Samaritan coming. Here's Jesus Christ coming and bandage him, right? Put oil and wine and then lead him to the inn and to take care of him more. So here's the spiritual message today, brothers and sisters. God is telling me today, hey, I want you to see yourself a man who has been beaten by the robbers. There are many robbers around us. Even the pastors, I already mentioned, right? Even the pastors. If a pastor is a religious leader, oh, he will surely be a robber to strip you off, to beat you, and to make you bleed. Why? Because there's a lack of full gospel. There's a lack of holistic gospel. There's a lack of Jesus as a Son of God and as a Son of Man. What we need is a full gospel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But today's message is this. We need to see ourselves how beaten we are. Remember, this expert in the law, he was trying to justify himself. He was trying to justify himself before God and say, hey, who is my neighbor? I can do that. But deep inside, he knows he can't. Brothers and sisters, what we need to do is we need to be honest. We need to be dead honest before God and say, I'm beaten, I'm bleeding. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, I have a desperation for you. I need you now. And God wants you to see how bleeding you are. Inside you're bleeding, but outside you're like, hi, how are you today? Fine, thank you. And you? Big smile, right? Big smile. Hi, how are you? Hi, how are you? No problem. Hey, you're fine, brother. Hey, what's up, you know? Hi, how are you? But inside you're bleeding. You're naked. You're half dead. wants us to be dead honest. Reject, camouflage yourself. Reject, disguising yourself. Reject, wearing mask. Reject, justifying yourself. People think sin and the world, corruption of this world is a big problem to God. No, to God. To God, sin in this world is not a big problem. To God, covering up of oneself, justifying oneself, try to look good before God. That's the biggest problem. Now, God can do everything, but God cannot do when this person covers up his own sins or her own sins. God cannot do anything. God is willing to forgive, restore, and empower us, strengthen us, bless us, as long as we say, "Oh Lord, have mercy on me. I need you. I am brutally beaten." This is exactly what it means. Today you have a new revelation. Go and do likewise does not mean go outside like a good Samaritan helping people who are bleeding. No, no. Before you do that, look at yourself as bleeding one. You need to be healed by Jesus now. Then God can work in and through you to help and strengthen other people who are bleeding, right? When you're bleeding, how can you help other people? Go and do likewise means what? Oh, to understand, to realize that you are a man. You are a man, okay, who got into the hands of robbers, beaten and bleeding. I pray that today you will see this revelation. Hallelujah. Look at the next verse now, the final verse. What do we need to do? What do we need to do? Not to do something for God. No, no, no. What do we need to do? Come to Jesus Christ. Come to the cross and kneel down before them and say, we need to cry out to God. Say, "Abba, Father, oh, have mercy on me. There's no life in me. There's no joy in me. There's no energy in me. There's no enjoyment of Christ in me. There's no enjoyment of Christ in my life. Oh, I feel so depressed. I feel so in darkness. I need the light. I'm in the darkness and I need the light. Oh, Lord Jesus, show me the light. I need you." You know, we need to confess. Okay, Psalm 51:17, last verse. Can we read it together? Begin. I love this scripture. I love this scripture. You know why? Because the sacrifice you want, God wants, is a broken spirit. You know the sacrifice what God wants? It's the broken spirit. It's not what I have that I give to Jesus. Before that, we have to come before God as a broken spirit. Broken and a repentant heart. This is what God wants. And Bible says, God will not despise. God will not reject if you come before Him with a broken spirit, repentant heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Have you ever thought that, oh, I can do something for God? Like a good Samaritan, I can do something for God. Let that thought down. No, no, no. You cannot do anything unless God gives you grace. Unless God gives you life. Unless God gives you health. Unless God gives you His blessings. Right? Yeah. This is a time, brothers and sisters, not to think about what to do for God. This is a time to come before Him with a humble and broken heart and say, "I need you. I need you desperately. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He will not despise you if you come with a broken heart. He will not despise you. I want to sing this song.